Remember, the game is proud to be 100% ad-free. So if you're enjoying the show, please consider investing in us on Patreon. For $2 a month, you'll have access to additional podcasts, I'll give you a shout-out on one of our shows, and every month, I'll give 25% of our Patreon income back to one supporter. Check out patreon.com/rememberthegame for more details. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you enjoy the show. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Remember the Game. It's my retro gaming podcast where every week a buddy of mine and I sit down and geek out about the games we played back in the day. My name is Adam Blank. Thank you guys so much for listening. You know how it works by now. This week, episode 61, we are talking Pokemon Snap for the Nintendo 64. If you grew up during the Pokemon Snap era, the late 90s, you fucking know this game. We all loved this game. I don't know how well it stood the test of time. I haven't played it probably since 1999, and probably will never play it again, but boy, fuck, if I got memories of this one, and so does Andre. He's my guest this week, and I'm going to get to that in a few minutes. You guys know I need to talk first, and I want to mention that. If you give me a minute, I will talk about the talking and give you a little bit of an update on what's going on with that. The deadline for our Patreon prize draw for September is August 31st. It's this Saturday, August 31st. I'll be doing the draw probably on September 2nd. It's the Monday because I'm out of town for the week, away for comedy right after that. So I got to get it done before I leave. We give away 25% of what we make in gift cards. So, I mean, 2 months ago, Michael won a $20 gift card for Xbox. Last month, we gave away a Sega Genesis Mini. Or I guess this month, August. In September, we'll be back to the gift card. So it's not too late, you guys. Get in on that. $2 a month is all it takes over at patreon.com/rememberthegame. $2. It's like a cup of coffee. And for that, you're going to get a shout out on the show. You're going to get an entry into the prize draw. And you're going to get bonus episodes of the podcast. We're starting to build up a little bit of a back catalog of bonus episodes. There's two game exclusive ones because you're going to get one of those every month. The two game exclusive ones available right now are Cuphead and Octopath Traveler. And we have two Q&A/rambling podcasts as well where I answer your questions, talk about them. The one for August just went live this past Monday, 2 days ago. And some of the questions I answered on that one were if I could build an RPG squad of four characters out of any RPG I've played, who would they be? Was as a Nintendo fan, a diehard Nintendo fan, how'd I feel about the PS1 launch? Was I anti-PS1? Was I pro-PS1? And they're not all video game questions. One of the wrestling questions I answered, because I get a lot of wrestling stuff, is who are the most overrated and underrated wrestlers of the last four decades? And I answered that. I talk more wrestling. I talk more video games. It's all available over there. Patreon.com/rememberthegame. Obviously, you're under no obligation. The podcast will keep coming out for free every Wednesday. But if you can spare the $2 and you're interested in supporting my show, I would really, really appreciate it. Thank you so much for all you guys that are doing that. Plus, you're going to get shout outs and all that good stuff as well. I'm getting some great feedback on the wrestling portion for that one. And anytime I talk wrestling on here, there is a wrestling podcast in the works. I don't think it's going to launch this year. It'll probably launch next year. My focus right now is really growing Remember the Game. But I do want to expand this into a little bit of a network. I've got a few ideas, and a wrestling one is coming down the road. So thanks for all you guys listening to that. If you guys can hear background noise right now, and I don't know if you can, my girlfriend, my nephew Ben, and my dog Molly are literally all up here running around, despite the fact that I just said I'm going to go podcast so you guys can keep it the fuck down. Yeah, now they're all three of them are looking at me with these three shit-eating grins right now, too. Fucking Ben, Shaylee, and Molly. Yeah, you should say something. I got to finish my intro. Okay. Speaking of my intro, I got an email from a listener, and I don't know if he wants me to name him, so I won't. I've got a lot of messages from people around the world over the last couple weeks, which is really rad. I'll get into more of that in a second. One of the emails I got was from a listener in Sweden. And if you're listening to this, you obviously know who you are. Thank you very much for reaching out. And he complimented me on the show and said he enjoys it. But he did mention the length of the intros. I have been asking for feedback from you guys on these and whether you prefer the long intros, if you'd prefer a shorter intro. The feedback has been hot and cold. But to be honest, like a majority of you actually don't seem to hate the intro. I like doing it. I like talking. If a lot of you were suddenly messaging me being like, the intro fucking sucks, then I would dump it. But it seems like it's probably about 4-1. People do prefer a longer intro. So what I'm going to do is keep doing them, but I am going to put a timestamp in the comments. So if you guys go to the description of the podcast, I will put the time down there where I end the intro and just get to the chatting about games. So if you're not interested in listening to all this garbage, hit it in the comments, and that will be every week going forward, beginning here with episode 61. Hit up there, not the comments, the description of the podcast, and the timestamp will be there to tell you when you can just skip my rambling and go to the game, okay? So, dude, thank you for the feedback. I don't know if you want your name mentioned or not, so I'm not going to say it. But I always welcome that, you guys. Don't hesitate to reach out to me. And he actually reached out to me through our website, rememberthegamepodcast.com. There's a contact me thing on there. He shot me a message on there. So feel free to reach out to me on there. You can find me on social media, Twitter or Instagram. We are at memberthegame, just like remember without the R-E. Picking up a ton of new followers right now, which is really dope. And getting some messages. I literally just in the last like day or so got a couple messages on Twitter. One was from Chris in Toronto, I believe, which is pretty cool. And then one from John, who is in, John, I don't know if I'm going to say this right, but Crook, Durham, England. I sure hope I said that right. So I got listeners in England. I got listeners in Sweden. I got listeners in Australia reaching out to me all across Canada, the United States. Pretty fucking cool, man, considering that at the end of the day, I'm just a hack comedian sitting in his girlfriend's condo spare bedroom recording a podcast about old video games. And she just looked at me like, oh my God, he's right. What a loser. Do you want to come on and just say hi, Shaylee, and review the, or like reveal the mystery of the girlfriend? No, she doesn't. Okay, good enough. So anyway, lots of people have been reaching out to me from all around the world, and I think that's fucking awesome. So thank you all so much. Don't hesitate to say hi. If you're on any of those things, we follow back on Twitter and Instagram. So feel free, throw us a follow. We follow back and you can DM and stuff like that. Apparently we were on the top 5 podcasts on iTunes too for retro games, which is awesome. Please leave reviews, you guys. I don't know what they accomplished, and I used to read them all on here, but I don't know how to access all of them anymore. But if you're enjoying the show, it takes 2 seconds. I know I hate doing it for the podcasts that I listen to as well, but I do it. 5 stars. You don't have to say anything if you don't want. Apparently that gets us bumped up, and we're just trying to grow this fucking thing. I also had one person reach out, and I think it was Chris, and mentioned that there's some episodes missing on Spotify. I think Spotify starts at episode 40. What happened there is our original podcast was on Spotify, and then all of a sudden they stopped putting them on there. And when I reached out to them and asked why, they said because the format wasn't MP3, it was some other kind of, and you guys know I don't know anything about fucking technology, but it was some other kind of audio file. And so because it wasn't an MP3, they weren't getting transitioning over to Spotify. So beginning with episode 40, I started making them as MP3s. If you're new to the show and that's where you're listening, or if you're listening somewhere where you don't have access to the old episodes, that's why. I'm sorry. I don't think there's anything I can do about it. I don't have those old files to transfer in MP3s and re-upload them now. But you can find them anywhere else. They're on YouTube. You can listen to them online on all kinds of different podcast apps. So check them out there. And I'm sorry for the inconvenience. All right. But that's what happened there. One more quick thought, and this one's about video games, before I get into what I'm playing and then shut up and talk Pokemon Snap. I finished Fire Emblem a few days ago, which is phenomenal. I'll get more into that in a minute on my what I'm playing. But I was kind of looking for something new to play on my Switch. I got a ton of retro games on the go, and I know I'm going to be buying the Link's Awakening remake next month on the Switch. And I don't have a ton of cash right now to blow on other games. And so I downloaded a bunch of demos. And I haven't just gone demo crazy in a while, but I downloaded a whole bunch. I got like a MLB, or not MLB, it was like a baseball, some arcadey baseball sluggers game on there. Dragon Quest XI, Dragon Quest Builders 2. There was a couple more on there. I think I got the Pokemon Eevee demo that I haven't tried yet. But anyway, the point I was trying to make is like, dude, more games should do demos. And I don't understand like when games, I know that they're still existing, but not every game does it anymore. And it felt like for a time, it felt like every game was releasing a demo. And I'll tell you right now, Square has either sold me Dragon's Quest 11 or Dragon's Quest Builders 2. Dragon Quest Builders 2. I haven't decided which one I'm going to buy. Excuse me. I haven't decided, this beer burps. I haven't decided which one I'm going to buy yet, but I'm going to buy one. At least because of the demo and playing them and how much fun I had with them. I'm kind of leaning toward Dragon Quest Builders too, because I refuse to get back in the minecart or the Minecraft drug. And that's kind of like, it'd be a way to get my fix, but also play a little bit of an RPG. Anyway, demos are sick and more companies should be doing them. And when there's a demo that you can save your progress, and then when you buy the actual game, your progress carries over, that's even better. So if you're out there and you are making video games and you're like, oh, maybe we should make a demo. Yes, make a fucking demo. And you guys, play your demos. They're worth it. They're free. And like when you're sitting around, we all know that feeling when you finish like a big project game, like a 70-hour game, and you know that like, well, now what do I do fucking feeling? Well, demos. And then you can figure out what you're going to do next. So I don't know. Just wanted to say I've really been enjoying those demos. Having said that, what have I been playing other than demos over the last 7 days? Fire Emblem Three Houses. Again, I know I mentioned it like 10 times. I did finish it. I finished it as a Golden Deer, which was the house I chose. Phenomenal. I really enjoyed it. I did find it a little too easy for about the first three quarters of the game, and I was playing it on its highest difficulty, like hard with permadeath on my characters on, and I still found it pretty easy. But the last couple maps had a little bit of challenge to them. I lost a couple characters near the end. No spoilers at all, but thoroughly enjoyed it. The story makes me want to play through it as the other two houses, and I've already refired it up playing as the Blue Lions this time instead of the Golden Deer. So it's not the same. I'm not as hooked on it as I was playing as the Golden Deer, because I already know about 75% of the story, I think, and you know, it's, you're back at the beginning where it's really easy and stuff again. But I cannot recommend that game enough. If you're a Switch owner and you like tactical RPGs, Fire Emblem Three Houses, so good. It took me about 60 to 65 hours for one playthrough, and there's three or four playthroughs in that game with DLC coming. So phenomenal. I'm back on Tetris 99, that drip that I cannot quit again. I think I've put almost 60 hours into Tetris 99 now. Never get tired of it. Love it. Best Tetris game ever made. And I'm still playing through Paper Mario Thousand Year Door. I've really put some time into the last few days since I finished Three Houses. And I'm saving all my thoughts for it because we are going to be doing a podcast about it here in the coming weeks. But I like it a lot. Phenomenal. So good. So that's what I've been playing. Good enough. We're at almost 11 minutes. I'll shut the fuck up. We will be getting to Pokemon Snap, you guys. Like I said, episode 61, that is our game of choice. A little bit of a disclaimer that I put out there for every Pokemon episode of the show. I think we've only done one or two so far. I like Pokemon. I call myself a competent Pokemon fan. I am not a diehard Pokemon fan, all right? When we did the Red, Blue, Yellow episode way back in like the teens, which you should check out if you want to go back to our archives, the Game Boy games, I did have some diehard Pokemon fans, including one who's a regular guest on this show and a very good friend of mine who'll probably give me shit the next time he comes on the show, who was like pointing out some of the things we'd missed and stuff like that. I thought I knew the games better than I did. Turns out I don't. I don't know this game super well, and I get that out of the way right off the top, I think. But I do have fond memories of playing it. I was a little older. This came out in 99, so I was like 15 when it came out, but I still loved it. I played the shit out of this game. I've been waiting for a sequel forever, as I think a lot of us have. I thought Switch, we get more into it in the show. I thought Switch would make a perfect way to make a sequel to Pokemon Snap, but we'll get into that. I never got too into the spinoff games of Pokemon. You know, I played a little Pokemon Stadium. I never got any of the puzzle leagues or any of that kind of shit. I never played the cards, but Pokemon Snap was dope. I played it. I don't know if it's as good as I remember, but that's not the point. We are going to remember it. I'm going to remember it with my pal Andre, who loved it as a kid as well. That's what we're talking about this week. I'm going to cue the music. I hope you guys kick back and relax. We are talking Pokemon Snap, that originally released in North America on the Nintendo 64 on June 30th, 1999. It just turned 20 years old. Let's talk taking pictures of Pokemon, you guys. Here we go. Here we go, you guys. This one's a big one. This is one of the games, not a lot of people have requested it, but I guarantee you almost everyone has played it. And a quick disclaimer, first of all, my guest this week, returning to the show from way back in the old days. This guy's always been around, my buddy Andre. How are you, my friend?
I'm glad to be here, man. Glad to be here and talking this game.
me too, buddy. Thank you for doing it. Quick disclaimer, okay? We have done one Pokemon episode on this show in the past, and it was Pokemon Red, Blue, Yellow. It was back in like the 15th episode or so, around there, and I caught a ton of shit from Pokemon nerds, including Pokemon nerds that come on this show, and if you're listening to this, friend of mine, you know who you are, who was screaming into the mic or into his radio, he said, just being like, no, that's not right, this is it. I understand the passion that you Pokemon fans have, okay? This podcast doesn't involve homework. This podcast is just two people reminiscing. So when we fuck things up or we forget to mention your favorite Pokemon, send all of your angry messages to my Instagram account, my Twitter account, @memberthegame, or yell at me on Facebook, okay? I want to hear the feedback, but calm your tits. We're just joking around, all right? I get the passion. I feel like that with Mario. If somebody fucked up a Mario game, I would lose my mind. Andre, this game came out in 1999. We're talking Pokemon Snap, as you guys know from the music, the title, the intro, all that stuff. I assume you played it in 1999.
Yeah, like, this is, like, I never owned the 64, but Uptown Video, and I can't remember the other video store that was in Morinville, but I would rent a 64. If one didn't have it, I'd go to the other store and rent a 64. I think without fail, I would always get like two or three games with it, because you get it for 7 days. And Pokemon Snap would always be one of the games I'd get, plus whatever I felt like at the time. But just Pokemon Snap's that game you can just turn on and just sit there and just that leisurely game.
Yeah, it is. It's very chill.
And that's why I always made sure I rented it whenever I rented the 64.
It's crazy you say that, because I know I say I don't do homework. I do sometimes when I haven't played a game forever and I don't have access to playing it like this one, I will go on and just do a little bit of reading and just, you know, refresh it in my mind and stuff.
Yeah, I did.
And actually, it's funny you say that you used to always rent it, because I read the other day that it's like one of the, I can't remember if it was like Blockbuster released the stat or who it was, but they said it's like one of the five most rented video games of all time. Which I'd believe, because all of us growing up in those late 90s, it came out March 21st, 1999. So all of us that grew up in that late 90, early 2000 era where you couldn't afford to buy a game, but you go, like, the best weekends were the ones where you go rent some video games,
And it was either 2, 3, or 7 days for games.
Right. And, like, everyone rented this. Because, like, you got to remember, too, I mean, it may sound stupid to say, because, like, I was going to say this is right at the peak of, like, Pokemon Mania, but here we are literally 20 years later, and Pokemon Mania is still...
It's just as big.
Like,
it's a different kind of monster now.
Oh, yeah. But it has to be in the five most valuable IPs in video gaming is Pokemon.
I still play Pokemon games to this day. Like, of course. I literally just deleted Go from my phone.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got sick of Go.
It was just filling my phone too much.
I can't wait for Pokemon Sword and Shield are coming out on the Switch this fall.
That's the reason I'm going to buy a Switch for those games. Exactly. I haven't pulled the trigger because I haven't had the cash.
Yeah.
But when those games come out, because those are the next in the series for me, I need to buy a Switch.
Dude, it's already selling like hotcakes, and when you drop a new like giant 3D fucking like next gen Pokemon game, it's gonna sell like wildfire.
And this game Snap was what, the first or second to be on? Was it? I don't know if it came out before or after Stadium.
I believe it came out before. I believe
This is the first game not on the Game Boy.
Yeah, and I honestly think that's part of the reason that Pokemon Snap was as big a phenomenon as it was. Because, like, truthfully, like, I mean, it's not that it wasn't fun to play, because it was fun to play, but it's not the world's deepest video game.
There's hidden things in this game,
tons,
which is really cool.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it's a pretty simple, straightforward game that really your mother could pick up and play, really.
Totally.
If it's that kind of simple of a game, but it's just that intriguing of a game, because you see all these Pokemon doing different things in this game.
Yeah.
And it's giving you Pokemon, but not the play through and fight through and battle through. It's just kind of cool little side thing.
Right. Yeah. Just looking here, it does look like Pokemon Stadium came out before it. But don't you fucking yell at me. Oh, no, it didn't. So shut the fuck up. No,
yes,
Pokemon
right.
Snap was first. Okay, so the point I was going to make of that is, this wasn't right during the peak of the Pokemon craze, but I will say this was right, like, as the Pokemon craze was really, like, hitting its stride, right? We already had Red, Blue, Yellow, and we already had the TV show.
The movie came out in 98.
Right, like, so, I mean, Pokemon was, like, we all played Pokemon back then. It was so fucking big, right?
Yeah, it would have been 98, 99 when I was, because Red, Blue, Yellow only came out in North America in, I think, 97, 98.
Yeah, something like
that. So it is right at the craze.
So, like, to me, part of the reason this game blew up is because it was a cool concept, part of it because it was Pokemon, and part of it, and I know this was a big part of it, we all take for granted now that there's tons of games where you see Pokemon in 3D and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
But outside of, like, the TV show and things like that, this was our first chance to see these Pokemon, like,
running
3D,
around,
you know what I mean?
3D.
Yeah, like, not just sprites.
Actively in an environment.
Right. And so I thought that was really cool. Like, I remember, I mean, so this came out in 1999, so, like, I was, like, 16 when this game came out, right?
It would have been like 13,
right?
14, like 12. I think it was 12.
So neither of us were like little kids, but at the same time, like, I know I played the shit out of this. I know you said you rented it all the time. I never felt too old for it or anything.
No, it's The thing about Pokemon, like, people say, oh, it's kiddie, but it's really not. Like, I never thought so, because I've played it my entire... Like, I didn't start playing the core games till Gold and Silver.
Totally.
Because I didn't own the original Game Boy. But, like, I played the crap out of this, like, because I rent it, and I'd play it with, like, my friends Mark and Chris. We'd play this, and because I don't know if they owned it, but they had a 64, and I know I'd rent it sometimes, and we'd play with them, and we loved this game.
Oh, yeah, dude.
I think we were 12, and yeah, like... It didn't feel like it was kiddie to us.
Yeah. No, and that's the thing is, I think anyone that, like, I can't imagine too many people that know video games feel like that anymore. But, like, if you write off Pokemon because you say it's for children, then, like, frankly, you just have never played Pokemon. Because, like, you could literally, like, I mean, if you weren't a gamer, I don't think you could pick it up and really get into it. But,
yeah.
If you were, sorry, I just was looking at the dates to make sure I didn't fuck up this release date, but I don't think I did. And if I did, I don't care. Fucking yell at me. I don't care.
Yeah.
What was I saying? Oh, yeah. Like, so if you were brand new to video games today, I could understand you could pick up a regular, like a mainstream Pokemon game and be a little bit overwhelmed if you're not into RPGs and all that kind of stuff. Well, I could understand how it's not for you. Like, my girlfriend loves Pokemon Go, but she's never played a regular Pokemon game because she ever plays is like Mario and stuff
like
that.
And I think this was one, like, if this was back in that day, yes, even playing the first three, Red, Blue, and Yellow,
yeah,
for some people who, if you're not a gamer, to pick that up would still be kind of, there's a lot to those
totally.
Games. Even in the first generation, there's a lot to those games.
Totally.
But to pick up Pokemon Snap, you got to sit in a cart, you got to take pictures of the Pokemon.
Yeah.
I think for anybody, this game could work.
And I think that's part of the reason it did work so well is not only because it was our first time to see the Pokemon in 3D and be like, oh, this is so cool, but the fact that, like, we had never... There had never been a Pokemon game this accessible to everybody. Like you said, some people just aren't into RPGs and reading and stats and all that kind of stuff.
And quite frankly,
if you're listening to this, you've played Pokemon. Like, the core Pokemon games are surprisingly deep if you want them to be.
Oh, very much
so. And even the first gen, before there was anything to do with, like, breeding or any of that stuff, it was still...
Just the first generation.
Just the battling classes and things right?
Yeah, it was insanely in-depth. And then this game gave you that feel of those games, but just in a more relaxed environment.
Yeah, like, so I remember playing this, and, like, admittedly, I am a recovering Minecraft addict. I haven't played Minecraft in a few years now.
I'm lucky I never got dude, hooked on it.
I started playing with my nephew, and just, it was, like, in my veins. Like, it took over it's so calming. It was like playing Lego. And truthfully, this, the Pokemon Snap, to me, is, like, the first... I mean, if there was one before it, I can't think of it. This was, like, my first calming video game like that. There was no stress. You couldn't die. You just were in the... I can't remember the name of the car now.
It was all based on the marks. It was based on how well your picture was taken.
Yeah, yeah.
Which they have incorporated into later games, or they you can take pictures of them in the newer game.
Yeah.
But, like, it was a cool little concept because what was the guy's name? Oh, Todd Snap.
Todd Snap.
Yeah.
Todd Snap and the 01.
Yeah, and the 01 thing. And then once you're done a level, Oak grades your pictures.
Yeah. How, like, about Oak gets off his fucking ass and does something? Hey, kid that is running away from home, go collect all the Pokemon for me.
Why does this guy keep telling little kids to go do dangerous things?
Hey, you kid, you have a camera. Go fucking ride through volcanoes and exploding factories and take pictures of these creatures for me.
This is the safest he's ever sent a kid on an adventure.
It's true. Because
he gave him a protective machine to be in.
You're right. Like, he was like, oh, Ash, I don't think Ash is coming back. So let's find a new kid.
Let's give him something that'll protect them.
But that's
we're not giving him a Pokemon this time.
Yeah, and that's what it was. It was like you were just in this car. It was on the rails. Like, it's funny because it's almost like a Pokemonized... I just invented a word. It's almost like a Pokemonized like shooting game. You know, because, like, there's those games like The Living Dead and stuff like that. You played arcades where you're on rails and you have the gun and you just shoot stuff. It was kind of like that, but instead of shooting zombies, you were just taking photos of Pokemon.
You got to throw apples in those pester balls.
And that was the cool thing, was, like, they started... And that's one of my favorite things about this game that I kind of forgot about till I started reading it. And then I was like, oh, yeah. To just be on the rails and going through these worlds, taking pictures of the Pokemon was really cool. We had never seen anything like that. It was like... Excuse me. It was like going through, like, a zoo or like a safari and taking, but instead of taking pictures of elephants and giraffes, you're taking pictures of fucking Pikachus and Magikarps.
Well, this world version of that giraffes,
And so that alone was cool. And you could go through a level because, again, you were on rails. You couldn't, I mean, at one point you get an item that can speed you up, but you can never like turn around and go backwards or stop and take your time. Like, so you have to be on rails.
The engine or something?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Oh, the dash engine.
Dash engine. Yeah. So that was really the only way you could change that part, right? And so even that, like, there was a way, because I think it was only 7 levels. And even that, there was a way to play through the...
Well,
the,
6 full through, and then there's the rainbow...
And then Mew,
the rainbow cloud, yeah. The Mew level.
And even that was cool, and you could have justified, like, just like that, and just you have to play through it a couple times, because if you're looking to the right of the cart, you might miss something on the left.
Yeah.
You might find stuff hidden.
Well, and it's a replayability of the level.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say, is as you start unlocking items, that for some fucking reason, Oak doesn't just give you off the top, which I know is to pad the length of the game, but like I'm like, God, you're a piece of shit, Professor Oak. Once you start getting apples and pester balls.
I think you get apples off the top because you got to throw them to get Pokemon to do certain things.
Yeah, I think you're right, actually.
The pester balls, I think, are given down the road. And then once you get the pester balls, you go back and you play those first couple levels. There's certain things you can do with the pester balls.
Yeah, and you can get like a flute or something too.
Yeah, because I think that one wakes up Snorlax.
Yeah, and so it's really cool that like there's a reason to play through these levels more and more and more. Because like I said, you could justify playing through them 2 or 3 times just to see both sides and see if you missed anything. Then you tack in the different ways that these different items interact with different Pokemon, because you can do things like and for the record, guys, I don't know about Andre. I haven't played this game in about 20 years.
I found a place that told me all the secret tricks. So okay. I know which ones we're looking at.
I'm not going to sit here and reminisce about every single trick because I don't remember all of them. But there are a couple I do remember. And some of them are just basic little things. Like there's one point where you're in like the volcano level and there's a Charmeleon walking along the edge of a lava pool, and you hit him with an apple or something, knock him into the lava pool, and then suddenly a Charizard pops out. And like, that's so cool that they just, like, that's just those little things, like the evolution of Pokemon, you know. Or there's one where you have to save Jigglypuffs that are getting attacked in a cave, and if you save them all, then they'll sing for you as like a quartet or a trio or whatever.
With the Magnemites in the tunnel, there's 3 of them, but if you got to hit them with apples or pester balls, and you get them all together, they form Magneton.
Right, that's right. And then you can get a picture.
They eventually evolve into Magneton, which is cool. And then another one, I think it's the same level, it's the tunnel. When you're going by Electrode, if you throw apples or pester balls at them, it agitates him and he explodes, and then you go off into a new area.
Yeah, and that's something.
I think that's how you unlock the next level.
And that's something I was going to say too that I thought was so cool is that not only because it's on the rails, right? So you would think it's a very linear, and it is kind of, but it almost isn't because considering you're on rails, there's so many different ways to interact with the environment, not just with the Pokemon themselves and making them level up or not level up, evolve and shit like that, or react in different ways. But yeah, the fact that there are actually hidden paths that you can find by causing reactions with Pokemon is fucking dope, man. Like, they really added a ton of meat to the bone in this game. Like, there's much to see and do in it.
Well, yeah, like, and I know for that Charmeleon one, if you don't do something with the Charmanders early, that Charmeleon doesn't show up, so and you can't get the Charizard. Right.
And I don't remember exactly what it is. The only reason I remember anything about this is because, and shit on me if you will, and I know that my pals Miklos and Mark McHugh, if they listen to this, are going to shit on me. My 2 favorite Pokemon are Bulbasaur and Magikarp. And I take a ton of shit for that, and I don't care.
The Bulbasaur, yeah, I agree with you 100% on.
Yeah, fuck you guys, Miklos and Mark, and anyone else that hates Bulbasaur.
Hey, the original series, Bulbasaur is the best Pokemon that starter to take because he can get you through the first 2 gyms very easily.
Thank you, Mark McHugh, Miklos, and the rest of you dickheads that hate on the little garlic that is Bulbasaur. But my absolute favorite Pokemon is probably Magikarp because he's just such a lovable loser. Yeah. And I don't remember exactly how it is, but I know there's something you do.
Every level in this game has a Magikarp except the Mew level.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Because if you throw the apples or the pester balls into the water in certain areas, Magikarps will pop out.
Oh, okay.
It's the little one that gives you a little extra at the end. It just gives you that extra picture, but they're very quick though.
Right.
They just pop and they go back in. So you have to throw and then have your camera ready.
Right.
Immediately to get the Magikarp.
And I don't remember exactly how it worked, but you can evolve a Magikarp into a, I don't know. I'm not going to say it right, and Pokemon nerds are going to freak out. I'm Gyarados. Either a Gyarados or a Gyarados, whatever. I think it's Gyarados. Gyarados. Yeah, mm-hmm. Me too. But you can evolve a Magikarp into them at one point, but you have to bounce him around like 3 or 4 times. And yeah, he goes into like a waterfall.
Have it right here. It's in the valley level. Like, you have to send him into a waterfall or something.
Right.
Like, I don't remember exactly how you do it, but then you get him, like, you got to send him into something.
Right.
You have to hit him. I think it's at Pester Balls or Apples.
Right.
And it knocks him into something.
See, so there you go. So we've only, like, literally, we just spent the last 5 minutes just talking about a small fraction of the many interactions that you can have with the different Pokemon in this game. And I think that is, to me, that's the absolute charm of this game. Seeing them in 3D and stuff is really cool, yeah, and everything, but like, it's just the fact watching them not just be sprites that don't move, like seeing them actually be,
or that
these
little
moving
animation
creatures
that happens on the screen.
Yeah, yeah, like to see them be actual like living like almost like the cartoon, right? And it, yeah, was like, wow, that's so like they're real things, you know.
Well, it's the fact that you can play this game, if you go through without throwing a single apple or throwing a Pester Ball or anything, you get to see certain amount of Pokemon.
Right.
But then you go through again, you throw apples, then Pokemon will do something. Like if you throw the apples in front of them,
yeah,
they'll move and they'll make certain reactions.
Right.
Right. And you get a better picture from them.
Right.
Where when sometimes you throw an apple at certain ones, they react and they get all mad and like they'll do them. Like I know the electrode, if you take a picture of it exploding, you get higher marks for that.
Right.
And then certain things like that, and like you get you help a Pikachu enough, he'll use some thunder or something. It's those kind of small little things that make that game. Like today, I guarantee I wouldn't go back and play this now,
right?
Because the controls would just piss me off,
right?
But it's the fact that like, you can play through and do so many little things that that's the reason that kept me. Pretty much, it's a game I rented every time I rented.
Totally.
I rented the 64.
Totally. And it's funny because, like, they could have released this as a bare bones. You don't get any items to interact with them. You just take pictures.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, considering how many kids were just Pokemon crazed at that time,
I guarantee
they could have sold
still,
a
still
ton
of sold
it.
Like crazy.
Right. But the fact that, I mean, this is just classic, like, you know, like, and I know it's not all Nintendo, but, like, classic Nintendo, like, when they go through and put so much extra meat on the fucking bone of these games, like you said, all the ways they interact, all those types of things. And to me, like, the secret sauce of this game, there's three aspects of it. There's all the creativity, mm-hmm, of getting the Pokemon to react. There honestly is the fact that it's on rails. I'm not normally a rails guy because I want to kind of explore a little bit.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
But this game wouldn't work as well off rails because you don't have that sense of urgency of being like, oh my god, like, you know what I mean?
Like, you only get a 10 seconds
right
to take the picture.
Say you're looking to the left and you're taking pictures and then you quickly breeze around to the right and in the back you see a fucking a slowpoke or something that you wanted to get a picture of and you're like, oh shit, I missed him. You know what I mean? Like, there's that, if you were just walking, you could walk up one at a time and go get it. And I think you'd finish the game once and be like, all right, well, that was done. The rails are necessary. So that's the second factor. And then to me, the third factor of the whole thing is the grading of your pictures. And it's in a weird way, it's like I remember playing this game and just like feeling this sense of urgency where I needed the approval of this old man that I fucking hate. That's in a video game.
Sending you into danger.
Yeah. But like, because at the end of each level, you get to, if I'm not mistaken, you would go through all your photos and you had to pick the best one of each Pokemon you took a picture. Yeah. You could have a dozen Pikachu photos.
You can only get one graded.
You pick the best one. Yeah. And then you submit to that one. And I can still remember that fucking great feeling of, he's like, that's a great photo. Oh, look at the action pose. I can double your score for that. And you just watch the score
and
run up.
There was three grading categories. The first one is, it was based on how the Pokemon posed.
Mm-hmm.
But if you pissed the Pokemon off and they started using a move, that's how you got your best. Mm-hmm. I think that's how you get your best, because it would the action he's doing, because he's using the move and it would like double or something. Like,
yeah,
it would bring your score up super high.
Sure. Yeah, like to get a picture of them was cool, but then and honestly, like, especially keeping in mind that I know the novelty's kind of gone now, but back then we'd never see, because I mean, once Pokemon Stadium and stuff like that started coming out, and you could actually see them fight in 3D and stuff.
And even then, I still enjoyed Snap more than Stadium.
I did too.
Yeah.
I just thought it was so, like, to see some of the pictures of some of these guys like doing these moves and stuff like that, like in 3D.
And
some of them are really cool photos.
When the Charizard can bring the fire, like he's doing, essentially he's doing a flamethrower, I think, but he's breathing fire as he comes to the pit. And that's awesome.
And you like, and I never did it. I don't know anyone that did. But if I'm not mistaken, that you could take your game to like certain places and get like picture, like certain video stores and stuff, and get your pictures like printed off.
Yeah. I think I was reading Blockbuster had it for a long time,
right,
that you could bring it in and then that you plug it in a cartridge and I don't think it was you need the cartridge. You just had to have like a save pack.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was on your
save pack. Oh, yeah, like your memory cards.
Like your save pack that went into the back of the controller or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you had that, they'd bring it in and they'd load it into the machine. And it was, I think they were saying, I think at one point it was $3 per picture.
Fuck. To get these shitty.
And I guarantee you, a lot of people paid for that.
Oh, totally. Totally. But to get these shitty, like, polygon versions of, like, yep. I don't know. It's okay. So that's all the good stuff about this game. I do have a couple of minor criticisms of this game.
Yeah.
And the first one being, remembering, you know, I can't imagine any, there's a lot of kids today listening to this podcast. If you are, ask permission, because I'd swear way too much for you. this was during the first gen, which we all know is the best gen. And there was 100, someone's yelling at their fucking radio right now.
I could argue that.
But I'm partial to the first gen.
Yeah.
And there's 151 Pokemon in that generation. And that I know, including if you include Mew, fucking relax. Mew, yeah. And they're not all in this game. There's like 60 or something.
Yeah,
I
think I was reading 60 Pokemon.
And that is, it didn't bother me at the time because I was just so excited to see them in 3D and play the game and everything. My brother and I had the player's guide for this game. We got it with the game, like, for Christmas. And so, like, we fucking destroyed this game because we had the players got to tell us where everyone is and how to get them to act for their best poses and stuff like that. But having said that, it was disappointing that they weren't all in it.
Because, like, there's some cool Pokemon you don't get, and it's just like...
And I feel kind of weird criticizing a game for not having enough in it after I've been sitting here blowing smoke up its ass for having the depth that it does.
Where's the executor?
They got most of the heavy hitters in there, and favorite Pokemon was in there and stuff like that.
I know at one point there's a crystal formation that when you put the camera on, it looks like Mewtwo, which is a cool, really cool thing. And then I guess there's no actual Bulbasaur in the game, but there's Dittos that transform into him.
Oh, that's right. They are. They're Dittos. That's
but
right.
Like they're Dittos, but if you take pictures of them, it counts as a Bulbasaur.
Right.
Yeah.
So then, like, I don't know. It's a very minor criticism that, like, again, haven't played the game in 20 years and I have nothing but fond memories of the game. Like, I'm not sitting here shitting on it. But it just seems very odd to me that they wouldn't have put... I mean, I don't know, and I don't know this, but maybe they had intentions of releasing a sequel and wanted the rest for it. I don't know.
That's very possible. But also think, like, you get the limitations of... It's an N64 cartridge.
It is.
There is a lot to program into that game. You'd have to put in... I think if you're going to do... 151, you got to put in at least 3 to 4 more levels.
Yeah. And honestly, I think that's part of the reason the Rails thing was put in it too. Because of like how interactive the worlds could be and how you can make the Pokemon react and stuff like that. You got to remember, like, this isn't fucking Breath of the Wild where you can do anything anywhere with anything and it reacts perfectly, right? Like, they probably only had so much to work with. And if you leave people on rails, it's not, I mean, part of it, I think, is it's the charm of the game and add challenge to the game because you're moving. But I also think part of it is that if you just had people on foot walking around, they would have had to put a lot more time and commit a lot more of the cartridge's resources to just making the platforming and stuff like that
so you
could go places, right?
And the fact is they'd have to because everything, no matter what angle you put, it's from a certain shot.
Yeah, so that takes
if you're moving, they got to create for you to get closer.
Totally.
They got to make it, and that's a lot more programming.
Totally. Yeah. And you got to remember too, right? Like in 1999, they were still trying to figure out exactly what they wanted to do with cameras and 3D games and stuff like that.
And plus they were stuck on a cartridge.
Which I still, Nintendo, you fucked up. Don't use cartridges. I mean, now they're back to cartridges. Yeah. And I love cartridges, but.
They work now because the technology's caught up to what can go on a cartridge. But
I did read that this was originally going to be a disc drive game, and then they turned it to cartridge when the disc drive died a horrible death.
Yeah.
But I am curious to know what this game could have been if it had been on a disc.
I think it could have been a lot bigger. I think there would have been at least 3 or 4 more levels, and all 151 would have been easy.
So you look back on it, it's ugly now. Although I don't even think part of it still looks cool, and I hate
like,
that era.
I watched some videos online, and I'm like, this, like, comparatively, that still looks really good.
Sure. Like, and
it's pretty smooth for an N64 game.
Unquestionably. And I take it, like, I fucking shit on that era of video game a lot for their graphics, the PlayStation 1 and the Nintendo 64. And we all know that. Like, I don't think they've held up well. No. I don't think a lot of those games play well. I don't think they look well.
There's very few that hold up now.
This one doesn't look terrible. It is ugly by today's standards, but it doesn't look awful. You know? And so that brings me to the number one thing.
Well, I think why it holds up is because it wasn't trying to be realistic. It was like, it was basing on a cartoon.
Sure.
That's, I think the cartoonier of the games hold up better because it's more rounded, more.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So it doesn't come off as blocky. And yeah. It's still blocky, but doesn't come off as blocky because it's based on a rounding cartoon system.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, really, Detective Pikachu just came out, and you look at the Pokemon in that movie, and they look absolutely gorgeous.
They look like almost realistic.
Right. And so you compare it to that and it's different, right? But then that's what I wanted to bring up. We have never gotten a sequel to this game. We've never gotten an HD remake. I know they re-released it on, I believe they re-released it on the virtual consoles on the Wii and the Wii U.
Yeah, but it's still the original
game. It's still just
game.
The original game. And that's something I've been very curious about because I was reading about it and they said they haven't straight up said we'll never do it, but they also haven't come out and said, yeah, here it comes.
But do you know how much harder that would be? I think there are, 800 and some Pokemon?
Totally.
Now?
But I mean, if they did 60 of the original 151, they could put in 150 of 800.
I guarantee you they could probably put it in as the 800 and some.
Totally.
Now.
And today you could sell DLC with more levels and more Pokemon.
Yeah, that you break it up, which would suck, but.
And like, I won't lie to you, man. Like, I know I'm in the vast minority, but I really enjoyed the Wii U with the gamepad and everything. I enjoyed playing the Wii U. And I am blown away. That we did
it
not
felt
get
like
a Pokemon
a big Game Gear.
Yeah, it did, but it had the gyro controls too, where you could And I'm like, once you've got those controls in a console, why are we not playing Pokemon Snap on it? You know what I mean? Like the 3DS, I think would have been okay for Pokemon Snap. But I think
easily could have handled Snap.
The Wii U would have been great, and I tell you, like, I know that their focus right now is on Pokemon Sword and Shield, and I get it because those games are going to. You just said yourself, you're buying a Switch.
A Switch for that. Like, so, I was debating buying a Switch for Let's Go, Eevee and Pikachu, but I was like, it's not my style. Like, it's more the Pokemon Go style game. I'm gonna wait for the core games.
Sword and Shield will move consoles, but to me, like the Switch is portable. It's selling like fucking gangbusters. By the end of Christmas, everybody's going to have one. In particular, if they end up, and I have no doubt in my mind it's coming. They are going to release like a Switch Lite or something, maybe something without Joy-Cons that come off. They can sell for less that they can sell to families. Oh, you have two kids and both kids are going to want their own copy of Pokemon. Buy two Switch Lites, save $100, and then they each have one. Tell me that the Switch, if you were ever going to release a sequel to Pokemon Snap, the Switch is the console to do it on.
Oh, it has.
It's handheld.
You could do it. You can do it by the hand, or you can do it on your TV.
Yeah, and with Nintendo trying, and I don't know how well it's working. I do know how well it's working. It's not. Nintendo trying to get into virtual reality with their Labo system and stuff. Whether you want to put the virtual reality aspect of it in or not, the fact that you could pick up the Nintendo Switch or just the Joy-Cons if it was on the TV and literally shift your body and turn. I'm turning, but you can't see me. And turn your hands and stuff.
I can. Don't worry.
And that's instead of trying to use the fucking joystick like you would on the Pokemon Snap, you're literally just turning your body and taking pictures.
Literally, you stand in the middle of a room and you could just spin in a circle.
Yeah.
And do this. Like it would really work.
I'm not going to sit here and say it's coming, but if ever they were like, hey, now's our chance to re-release this, it's right now.
Oh yeah.
And I don't want a re-release of the original. I want a new Pokemon Snap game.
Even if you did 200 Pokemon spanning Gen 1 to Gen 7, I think we're on now.
Yep.
I think people would be happy with
it. Oh, they would sell like gangbusters. And then once it's selling, then you're like, oh, hey, guys, for $15, we're dropping some DLC.
Here's some more levels.
And here's some more levels in Pokemon. Yeah. And then the fact that imagine if we had Twitter and Instagram to share your photos that you took back in 1999.
Well,
do you know what I mean?
You could literally have some uploadability from your Switch straight to Twitter, straight to Instagram, straight to whatever you want. Right. I guarantee it. They would have something of that sort.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I mean, you can do that now. I do it. I can take a picture of my Switch, hit upload, and put it on the member of the game.
So you know they'd
Twitter.
Have it.
So it's like, on one hand, somebody might argue that when Pokemon Sword and Shield, when Pokemon Sword and Shield come out, maybe people will already be doing that. They'll be using the camera app and taking pictures. But the game's not designed for that, like a Pokemon Snap would be.
Yeah.
And I mean, you're right. Like, there were some cool things in the original 1999 Pokemon Snap. Like, you'd see like a Pokemon react to something, and you're like, fuck, that looked pretty rad. Like, I got a cool picture there. Imagine what they could do with the graphics in 2019.
And like, you could make them like, if you threw like they brought back passballs, you could throw passballs and make them fight in this one, and then you could get like a Pikachu versus something else
and
fighting and then you take the picture of them attacking each other, and you get triple the points or quadruple the points for the fight version.
I just, to me, it seems like a no-brainer. And I mean, and like Nintendo, I mean, it's, I mean, they aren't stupid, but like everybody knows that Pokemon's a license to print money, right? Every Pokemon game sells you. Pokemon, like the 3DS is the house that Pokemon built. Like, I mean, and then 3DS was great, but Pokemon was Pokemon on it, right?
Pokemon built the handheld system. Totally. If it wasn't for, if it, like,
totally.
Don't get
Same
me
as
wrong.
The Game Boy.
Yeah, the Game Boy is the reason. Like, if they, Pokemon never come along, I think it would have been a good system, but never the epic system it's become.
The two most important handheld games of all time are Tetris for the Game Boy and the original Pokemon games by a mile. And then, I mean, you throw in Pokemon Go makes billions of dollars a year. Like, billions.
I've spent money on it.
Right? Everybody. It makes so much money. Like, we should do an episode of this on Pokemon Go at some point, maybe. Yeah. But anyway, Pokemon Go has made a fortune. The handheld games have made a fortune. Every spinoff game makes a fortune. Detective Pikachu finally just dethroned Avengers, I believe.
No, he came in second.
Oh, fuck, okay.
It was John Wick came out the week after.
Oh, yeah, John Wick. Yeah. Fuck off, John Wick. Anyway, Detective Pikachu.
I haven't seen a single one of those movies.
No, fuck him. Detective Pikachu is huge. Like, the Pokemon franchise is so big. The big trifecta of Nintendo games are Mario, Zelda, and Pokemon.
Yeah.
If you're ever going to give us a Pokemon Snap, it's fucking now.
You got the system to do it.
Quit fucking around, Nintendo. I felt good. That was a good podcast.
Yeah.
Before we score this thing, you got any other thoughts on the legendary Pokemon Snap?
No, just it was that enjoyable, just sit back and relax game.
It was a very chill game. It was fun. It was, if we get a Nintendo 64 classic someday, I have zero doubt in my mind that that game is on.
Snap's got to be on.
Zero doubt. And it's better than Pokemon Stadium. So
by far.
Andre, if you had to give Pokemon Snap a score on a scale of 1 to 10.
7.5.
7.5?
Yeah, because like it's a good game, relaxing, but you know it's got its fault, and it's not the most exciting game in the world.
No, it's not. Yeah. I would have given it a 9 back then, but today
back then I probably would have been higher. But
yeah, I'll go with like a 7. Now it's fine. It just truthfully I would rather play Pokemon. Over Pokemon Snap. Like, I'd rather play the game.
Honestly,
the fact that we're both saying that might be why we've never gotten a Pokemon Snap release, because they only have so much time and money and manpower to commit to developing these games.
And you got to think, like, these new series were coming out, like, you'd put your new one out, then you'd do the remake the next year is what they've been doing for years, mm-hmm. and then the new one, then the remake. That's only 2 years of development.
Yeah, and I mean,
and now
like,
with the Switch, it's going to be even bigger.
It would be rad, but I mean, yeah, like if you're them, why take sales away from Sword and Shield with Pokemon Snap?
I wouldn't think it would hurt sales at all.
$80.
I think it's just quality.
Yeah, I'll give you another $80, Nintendo. Yeah. You guys, thank you so much for listening, and Andre, thanks for doing this. Listen, as I've stated off the top, if you hardcore Pokemon nerds have a beef with anything we said, feel free to reach out to me. You can find me on Twitter @MemberTheGame. You can find me on Instagram @MemberTheGame or at Facebook.com/RememberTheGame. And Andre, you are on the Twitter
If you want to yell at me too, @ThatCanadaGuy on Twitter, @ThatCanadaDude on Instagram.
Let them have it. And Bulbasaur is the best. And fuck you if you think differently. Thanks, buddy. That's going to do it for this week's episode, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. Andre, thanks for coming on the show, and each and every one of you. I already said thanks for listening, but really, thanks for listening. You guys, follow us on Twitter, on Instagram, @MemberTheGame. We'll follow you back. I'm happy to do that, okay? You can find us on Facebook at Facebook.com/RememberTheGame, and most importantly, Patreon.com/RememberTheGame. $2 a month is all I'm asking. You're going to get more podcasts. You're going to get shout outs. You're going to get entries into draws to win stuff, including this month's draw, where the deadline is this Saturday, August 31st. I'll be doing a shoot of the draw video during the first couple days of September. We'll be giving away a gift card. The more people sign up for Patreon, the better the gift card is. You've got a good chance at winning. It's not one of those 1 in 1,000s. You've got like a 1 in 20, 1 in 30 shot at winning just for listening to the show. And and you get a bunch of extra podcasts, and I'll say your name on the show and all that good stuff as well. Okay, so well worth your time. $2 a month, patreon.com/rememberthegame. And last of all, please leave us a good review if you guys are enjoying the show. I know I ask every week. I listen to podcasts that ask every week. I don't usually do it, but they really do accomplish something. Apparently, we're showing up in the charts on retro gaming podcasts now when you search them, which is fucking cool. So leave us a good review. Don't hesitate to reach out and say hi for listening to the show. I want to know where you are, where you're listening, what you like, what you don't like. People from Sweden, Australia, England, the States, here in Canada, everyone saying hi. I think that is the coolest fucking thing in the world. Thanks for listening, you guys, and I will be back next week with episode 62 of Remember the Game. In the meantime, go play some video games, stay out of the sun because it'll burn you, and I'll talk to you again in a week. Take it easy. Cheers.